Well, it's good to be back here this afternoon. Good to see each one here. Glad to have folks that are online join in with us as well. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians in chapter 4. And we're getting ever so close to the end of this chapter. I think after about 60 messages, and we're down, well, we got started in verse 26 last week, and we'll continue there this week, verses 26 and 27. However, I don't know whether we'll get into verse 27 or not this week, but it goes right along with verse 26. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So, how do we do this week? Did we get angry? Did we sin when we got angry? Be ye angry. Remember last week we said, be angry is an imperative. It's imperative that we be angry. And it's also imperative that we sin not in our anger. So, this obviously is talking about an anger that is not unto sin. Most of us wrestle with that thought, as we explained last week, and give you illustrations of my own life. How all my life I've wrestled with the issues of anger. And it wasn't sin not because I sinned in that anger. Now to be angry with sin and not sin. That's the key. And so last week as we looked at these two imperatives, and we said, but how do we do that? How do I get angry and sin not? How do you get angry and sin not? How do we be angry with sin and not feel the emotions that come along with anger? The emotions of malice. And ill will, bitterness, spite. How do we do that? Well, you might say to me, and I would say to you, when you figure that out, let me know. But I think we had some illustrations to look at. We have to go to the Word of God. We have to see our example in the Word of God. Last week we looked at the idea and thought that God gets angry with sin. And He doesn't sin. We know he doesn't sin because he's a holy God.
Amen.
He's a righteous God. He's a just God. He gets angry with sin. Sin is against God. Sin is a transgression of God's law. And God is the supreme, is the sovereign, as our sovereign creator, had the right to demand of all men that they honor him, that they love him with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind. That they have no other gods before them. That includes this fellow here. And as the sovereign creator, he had the right to demand that of us, of you and I. And he also had the right to demand of you and I certain behaviors toward one another. Our behavior toward our parents. And the attitude of mind toward mother and father. Our attitude and behavior towards one another. Of not killing. Not stealing. Not lying. Not bearing false witness. Not coveting anything that is your neighbor's. His beast or that which is in his home. Even down to his spouse. And so last week we saw that God gets angry with sin. He got angry with sin in the lives of his people Israel. He demanded, and they failed in the first commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. They didn't love him, they departed from him, and they went to serving other gods. This afternoon, we want to look at two other examples concerning God. And that is, as it is manifest in the life of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who I mind pause to remind you that he is God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John. The book of John and chapter 2, and really there's only that I recollect and can find, there's only two instances that we're given of in all of the Gospels where that Jesus Christ got angry. And both of them had to do with sin against God. All sin is against God. But it had to do with the house of God, with the Lord's house. In the book of John chapter 2. And look with me here at verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. He went into the temple. He went into the house of God. The Passover drew nigh. Passover was the slaying of the Passover lamb. And the observance of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Time of great sacrifice in the land of Israel. Sacrifices to be offered. You would expect to find Israelites there at the temple. You would expect to find beasts there at the temple, getting ready to be offered as a sacrifice. However, what you would not expect to find at the temple, those selling those beasts, making a profit, making gain from it. It was a matter of convenience. Well, look, you know, people come from all over Israel, the land of Israel, to come to Jerusalem, to the temple, to offer their sacrifices. Look, we're going to provide you a service. You won't have to cart your animals here. You can come here and you can buy them of us and we'll sell them to you. And you'll have them right here to offer. You'll save yourself transporting of those beasts. Good people, weren't they? Sounds good, doesn't it? The only problem is, in doing so, they had dishonored the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord was a place for sacrifice, was a place for worship, for bringing our sacrifices into the house of the Lord. We do the same thing today. We're to bring our sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving into the house of the Lord to be offered up unto Him in songs and hymns and prayers to our God. Look at the Son of God's response. And when He, Jesus, had made a scourge of small cords, He drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise, a house of selling and buying, and that done by dishonest means. Jesus here got angry, as noted by the fact that He made Himself a scourge of cords. And we would say, in today's language, He got violent. But not under sin. Not under sin. Second Corinthians 5. Verse 21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. You see, He bore my sin, He who was without sin bore my sin. He not only was without sin, He was incapable of sinning. He had a righteous indignation against sin, that is against God. They were taking the house of God and they were desecrating it. And you and I today ought to get angry with anyone who comes into the house of God and desecrates the house of God. Doesn't come in the house of God with for the right manner and right purpose.
Amen.
And that is to offer the sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving and prayers unto our Lord.
Amen.
And worship Him in such a manner. Jesus got angry. He got angry with sin in the house of the Lord. Now, Jesus' life was one of dwelling among sinners all over. And He saw the sin. He saw the sin of the scribes and the Pharisees. And He called them out on it. Called them hypocrites. But we don't find Him getting angry with them. But when sin was blatantly against the commandments of God, against desecrating the house of God, we find Him getting angry. Angry because they made His Father's house a house of merchandise, as this passage of Scripture calls. This is early on in Jesus' ministry. This is just after the feast of Cana, after the marriage of Cana, when He turned the water into wine. And He went into the temple. And there they were. Time of Passover. Buying and selling. Making merchandise of the house of the Lord. The other instance we have in the temple is similar to this instance. But it's later in the ministry of Jesus Christ. In the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 21. In fact, we haven't gotten there yet. We followed the life of Jesus up to the 13th chapter, and many things we've seen. But we haven't gotten to this one yet and seen this in the life of Jesus. Chapter 21 of the book of Matthew. And we find verses beginning with verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer. But ye have made it a den of thieves. Here he says they're buying and selling. It was thievery. I mean, they weren't being honest in it. They were making money by dishonest gains. And you can imagine, I mean, God in the Old Testament had reproved them concerning unjust balances, unjust scales.
Yes.
I mean, that was a practice long ago, brethren, not just today. I get aggravated every time I go into the store and prices seem to go up and packages get smaller. He used to go into the store and could buy a pound of coffee, 16 ounces. You could buy a 3-pound can of coffee, 48 ounces. Then you go into the store and you could only buy 46 ounces of coffee. You could only buy 15 ounces of coffee. Now I think the bags have shrunk way down to 10 ounces and 12 ounces per bag of coffee. The same thing with sugar. The same thing with ice cream. But there you know what you're getting. You can read the package. It's 12 ounces. It's 10 ounces. Whatever. This unjust balances, unjust scales, was they were fudging the scales a little bit. So it looked like it was a pound, but they weren't getting a pound's worth. They were getting less. Was this a practice going on in the temple at that time? Sounds like it, doesn't it? Made it a den of thieves. Sounds like, oh, this sheep here is a good one. You can buy him for $3 a pound. See, here he weighs 100 pounds. When he only weighs maybe 90 pounds. Was that going on?
Well, we don't know. Doesn't say. But we know Jesus called it thievery. They were buying and selling, and it was unjust. And the point is, they took the house of the Lord, which was to be a place of offering of sacrifices and praise. It was to be a place of offering up of prayers, as we find in the Old Testament. In the book of 1 Samuel, we find Hannah going there. We find also in the book of 1 Samuel, other women going there to the temple to offer up prayers unto God.
They've taken the house of prayer and made it a den of thieves. And so Jesus went in, driving them out, upsetting their tables and the money changers and the chairs that the sellers of doves sat in and everything. Was he right in doing that?
Amen.
And you and I, today, would we be right in doing that here? If one was desecrating the house of the Lord here? Now that's another message that we get in all the ways in which you can desecrate the house of the Lord. And we've preached on that before in times past. The sense that this building is not the house of the Lord. As the church is gathered together in this building, it's the house of the Lord. But this building is sanctified and set apart for the use of our worship together as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as this building and everything in it is sanctified, set apart for that purpose, to use it in a destructive way, not respecting it as having been purchased and set apart with the finances of the Lord for that purpose, would be to desecrate it. We desecrate the house of the Lord by the lives which we live, by the manner in which we enter into this assembly. You see, any time that we come in with the wrong heart, not, like I said, that's another message. Don't want to go there today. Not ready to go there today. But just mention those things to you for your consideration, for thought. So we see that God got angry with sin. Jehovah God got angry with sin and his children of Israel. And in the book of Jeremiah, we see that he divorced them, give them a bill of divorcement, a writing of divorcement. And we see here in the New Testament on two occasions, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our example, we want to look to him for how to be angry and sin not. Jesus didn't sin. You see, the sin was that these people against the house of the Lord, against the Lord, and the commandments of the Lord God. God must be angry with sin. God must be angry with sin. And he must be angry with those who are set for wickedness, who set themselves to do wickedly. There are men all around us who is their purpose, that is their goal. They are set for evil. They are set for wickedness. Listen, God's holiness demands it. God's righteousness demands it, that he be angry with sin and those who set themselves for wickedness. It's hard for you and I to imagine. It's hard for you and I to picture. Sometimes I have a hard time getting angry with sin. And then there are some sins I have no problem getting angry with. What? How can I differentiate? Sin is sin. God doesn't differentiate. Sin is sin with God. He's angry with all sin and workers of iniquity. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. About three different passages I want to look at here in Psalms. First one is in the 93rd chapter. 93rd chapter of Psalms. In verse 5, thy testimonies are very sure. The testimonies of the Lord, the word of the Lord, is very sure. How sure is it? Very sure. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Consider that. I wanted to read this verse to let our minds center and focus upon the thought of the holiness of our Lord, the holiness of God. God is holy. Used to be on these Bibles that we carry, used to say Holy Bible. I don't know when they took it off. I guess when we started getting sophisticated and publishing study Bibles. Okay, there's a Bible back there with Holy Bible on it. Yeah, it used to be all of them had Holy Bible or Holy Word on it. Listen, this is God's Word. Look, this doesn't contain God's Word. It is God's Word. As God is holy, His Word is holy. This is the holy Word of God. From Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22 and what is it, verse 20? 21? It's holy. And it's so much holy that He pronounces curses upon him that addeth thereunto or taketh away from it. God's holy.
Amen.
And His holiness demands that He be angry with sin. We cannot imagine one who is of perfect nature. One who is of holy nature. And boy, if we were of that, I think we would be angry every day with sin. As I said last week, it behooves me, it behooves you to be angry with sin in my life, to be angry with sin in your life. It behooves each one of us to be angry with sin in the lives of one another. It behooves each one of us to be angry with sin in our country. To be angry with the sin of abortion, killing babies. But not to sin, not to join in with the radicals who want to bomb those abortion centers. That would be unto sin.
Yes.
We don't find Jesus taking another life. because of sin. He didn't do that in the temple. He just drove them out of the temple. Run them out. We can be angry with sin. When was the last time you got angry with sin and took it to the Lord? The righteous judge. You see, I'm not a righteous judge. My anger might be a little tainted, a little shaded there. You know? Well, take it to the Lord. See something that don't look right? Don't seem right? Take it to the Lord. The Holy One and the righteous judge. Let Him deal with it. We know it'll be done in righteousness and true holiness. It might not be done in sinful ways and manners. Turn with me now to the seventh chapter of the Psalms. So God is holy. His word is holy. His word is sure, very sure. Turn with Psalms chapter 7. We read this in verse 11. God judgeth the righteous. God is angry with the wicked every day. God judges both the righteous and the wicked. But the wicked He's angry with every day. Why? Because they've set themselves to do wickedly. Because they set themselves to work works of unrighteousness and unholiness before God. So He's angry with the wicked. How often? Every day. Why? If God's angry with the wicked every day, why didn't He just destroy them? Well, now we're entering into a territory of, well, God's also long-suffering and merciful. And He's long-suffering for whose sake? For the sake of those that He has chosen to save. Aren't you glad He was long-suffering with you?
Amen.
I'm sure glad He was long-suffering with me. You see, He was every day of my unsaved, wicked life, He was angry with me. But He was long-suffering with me because He had plans of grace for me. I'm glad He had plans of grace for me and for you as well, and saved my unworthy, wretched soul. Turn with me to the 47th Psalm now. The 47th Psalm. And I want verse 8. Psalm 47 and verse 8. God reigneth over the heathen. God setteth upon the throne of His holiness. You see, God's holy. And He's reigning. He's reigning over the heathen as well as the righteous. We're told concerning the heathen, concerning the wicked, that He's angry with them every day. He's angry with them. Why? Because of His holiness. But He endures their wickedness. He endures their sin because of His long-suffering and merciful. And just maybe some of those He will, by His mercy and grace, purpose to save, has purposed to save. He can
He cannot regard the conduct of the wicked with favor. Think about that. Favor. He can't regard the conduct of the wicked with grace. With favor. That would be unjust, wouldn't it? His judgment must be against them. They're against him. So his judgment is against them. He's angry with them every day. His judgment is against them. And he will punish them. If they die in that condition, if he doesn't intervene and give them a new heart, and implant his nature, give them his Holy Spirit by his grace. Make them alive in Christ Jesus. He'll punish them. Which they abide under condemnation because they willingly go their way. You see, what is amazing to me is that God chose to save me. And God chose to save you. God chose to save some. In spite of their wickedness. It's amazing. That's why we sing Amazing Grace. Because it's amazing. You know? His judgment in regards to righteous men must be with favor. They've been made righteous by his grace. And so he treats them favorably. We've read it. He treats us favorably. Favorably above the wicked. He showers more grace. Showers more mercy. He showers more long-suffering upon us. Yes, he's merciful to all, the whole world. In a degree, in a sense. And he's merciful in the fact that he doesn't utterly cut them off right now. His mercies are new every morning. To me, a saved sinner, his mercies are new every morning. I fail him every day. I'm in need of his mercy every day. Praise God. He's merciful to me. We who have because of the grace of God, put off the old man. Put on the new. We must. That's the imperative. We must be angry with sin. That's our verse. But sin not. Be angry with sin and sin not. In other words, we must exercise the same anger towards sin that God exercised towards sin, the same anger that Jesus Christ exercised towards sin, and yet without sin. As I said, that sometimes a hard thing to do, but we can do it. Don't we get angry with sin? We don't go out and seek their destruction, seek to destroy those sinners. No, we would pray for their soul. We would pray for God to be merciful. We would pray for God to be gracious and to save their unworthy souls. That's what we would do. Well, I didn't get very far this week. I thought we would get through verse 26. You contemplate, you think about, let not the sun go down on your wrath. You think about that. Why aren't we to let the sun go down on our wrath? We'll look at it next week. Shall we stand? Be dismissed in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your great love wherewith you loved us. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for leaving us all these precious truths in your word, for leaving to us these commands, leaving us many, many examples from the Word of God, showing us that it is possible for us to be angry and to sin not. Lord, help us to be angry with sin, first of all, in my own life. Secondly, in the lives of fellow members of Grace Baptist Church. And thirdly, in the lives of those with whom we live in this country, in this land. And oh, as we look upon our land, consider our land, wickedness abounds. Abounds in every place. And yet it feels like that we've become, as it were, so sensitized, so desensitized to that sin. As though, well, we just expect it. Lord, help us to be angry with it because it's against you. But help us to pray for the salvation of sinners. For you to be gracious and merciful. And save them by your wonderful, marvelous grace. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.